News was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. It's your talk radio show where we talk about the things you want to listen to and you can join in on. Today is with Reading Police Chief Rob Pletty and Reading City Council candidate Michael DeQuisto will be with us today. Plus, there's a million things going on. So we are busy this morning. 7:06. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. Okay, currently 76 degrees. How are you on this Tuesday? Is it Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Oh, we forgot the hump day. We'll just do it.
We
hump
killed,
day, Carl.
We killed the camel.
Hey, what day is it? What day is it, Linda? What day is it? Wait a minute. I got a better one. Susan Eastman.
Good morning. Happy hump day.
Hey!
What's happening on Wall Street, Susan?
Well, major averages are under pressure before the opening bell this morning after the World Bank cut its global growth forecast due to weaker outlooks for the U.S., Russia, and China. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 63 points at 16,882. The S&P 500 is off 5 points at 1,946. And the NASDAQ Composite is down 3 points at 4,334. Active stocks this morning, Procter & Gamble off 13 cents at $80.02. Pfizer up a penny, trading at $29.51. CBS Corp up $1.87 at 63 even. For local stocks of interest, PG&E down 12 cents at $46.05. PepsiCo up 6 cents at $88.48. AT&T up a nickel at $34.99. In the bond department, the 10-year Treasury note is priced to yield 2.63% and the 30-year bond 3.46%. For commodities, gold is up $2 an ounce at $12.62, silver up 4 cents at $19, and crude oil up a nickel, trading at $104 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Susan, thank you very much. You know what? Just how quick they are. Yeah, Susan, she's there. She knew what it was. Plus, she also knows what's going on Wall Street. She knows what to do with your investments. She has the ways to provide financial freedom for your family. Give her a call at 243-7561 and then head on down to their offices on Park Marina Drive.
Okay, now, 76 degrees in the downtown studios.
I got carried away.
How are you on this Wednesday before we went into hump mania? It's going to be hot today with temperatures around 98, mostly clear tonight with temperatures around 63. It's lovely weather that we are having here in Reading. Thursday, sunny with temperatures around 88. Then we get to Friday and it's around 88. Again, mostly clearly nice. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends. We have tickets to give away this morning. Let's start off with a bang.
Wait a minute. Start with a bang. Yeah, now why are we playing that? Maybe it's because Eric Cantor, a shoo-in for the House of Representatives out of Virginia, lost in his primary to a Tea Party candidate. And it wasn't close. It was 55% to 45%. Here was an on-rising star in the Republican Party, gets hammered in the primary and said, nope, I'm not going to split the vote. I'm not going to go for a write-in when it comes to in November. So what is it? Was it the fact that he voted for? Raising the debt limit for bailing out banks, or was it the fact that he was a leader in the immigration bringing? Let's just have amnesty here. All of that. Now, this is a Republican suburb of Richmond, Virginia. And Richmond, Virginia is not a totally conservative place down there. Cantor loses big down. What does this mean? Does John Boehner lose his place as the leader? It might be. because, you know, what people are seeing is, hey, we're tired of the status quo. We want some changes. We want somebody to come in there and make a change. And so this week, today, in about 5 minutes, we're going to have Michael DeQuisto on, who's running for city council. Tomorrow, Brent Weaver, who's running for city council. And Friday, Christian Schrader, who's running for city council. Put your fingers on the phone, put it in your lap, and get ready to ask questions or to get on KCNR 1460 and get into our chat room and start typing.
Would you explain what's put it in your lap?
Well, put the telephone in your lap and hold it there.
All right, I get it.
And hold it there.
I had to type. That was a weird visual. Well, put your fingers. Anyway. Then.
Okay. Hey, another big story besides the Cantor story, and we'll cover that over the next couple of days. California judge ruled that tenure for teachers in California is unconstitutional, affects 6 million children. And he says what this does is it keeps poorly performing teachers in those schools where they get sent to, but it's usually in the poor sections of town. It's not fair for the poor children. And the fact is, last in, first out doesn't necessarily mean that's the best teacher that could be the best teacher you have in the school. And, so this, of course, is being fought by the teachers union, but this is going to go to the Supreme Court.
Okay, got something to add in there.
Okay, throw that one in.
Paula Deen. Paula Deen's comeback continues.
Oh, now this is the one that was from the Food Channel that had something 20 years ago. She said something and she lost.
It's just, it's an extreme. Okay, you apologize. I'm sorry. Things fall out of people's mouths. We talked about that before. Happened with Hillary Clinton when she said she was dead broke. We talked about these things fall out of people's mouths. Sometimes you can't take it back once it spills out. So all you can do is move forward and try to make it positive. So anyway, she plans to launch the Paula Deen Network, cha-chung, a subscription-based internet network in September. She says, y'all can get my recipes, tips, and cooking anytime you want. This is for you. She says on her website, I can't wait to crank up the oven and get cooking for the people I love, my family, my friends, and my fans. Woo!
Does she sound like that?
Oh, yeah. You gotta love Paula Deen. So anyway, I just had to tell you that because, we've got headlines here that are just amazing.
Did you like go see a voice coach to get that down?
Okay, and the last thing we want to talk about here before before we take the break and have Mike DeQuisto come on, cars on California Street. Yep, you knew it was coming. I knew this was coming when I read and heard when they said, this is just a pilot project. It's a test. And then, if it doesn't work, we'll change it back in 2 years. As soon as I heard that, anything that you said after that, my friends, if you were against the bike lane, it didn't count. Oh, no, we're going to try it here. We want to test this out on the people in Redding. So what they're doing is they're taking California Street. It's changing from 3 lanes to 2 lanes plus a bike lane. In a wider area for, because you've got cars parked there, so you've got to have like a 3-foot section there and then the bike lane. And so it takes and where they said, there's not that much traffic. Well, there is traffic. But how many bicyclists are going to use this bike lane? Or is it going to be used for shopping carts, by our friends that walk around with shopping carts?
Well, when you've got the
time.
Guy, he's riding one stolen bicycle and carrying another, it will be a matter of convenience.
Hey, somebody said they saw a bicycle going down the road yesterday with one of those floor fans, like a 15-inch floor fan, tied to the back of it. Attached to a battery, and it was on.
At least it was creative.
I wish I could have seen that. No, wait, did this guy? No, he's like, I couldn't believe. He says, "How's that thing running?" And he's looking at it. It's got attached to a battery.
We're soon to be on a par with Beijing. I'm not sure.
Okay, now, but this thing is the question is when you're driving down California Street and you want to turn right on the street. You've got bicycles coming down there too, so I wonder how many bikes are going to get wiped out in the first few weeks, because people just there's a bike there.
I agree with what you're saying. I knew that this was going to be an issue when I read about this morning. On the other hand, we are trying to be a city that is environmental friendly. People can come and do the trails. They can walk the trails. They can so many different aspects of the river and the lakes. This is why the bike lanes are as well as important. And you see what has happened with the walking and the bike lanes that have continued from Turtle Bay down to Hilltop, which has been fabulous for foot traffic as well as, walking. You could basically walk all over town. Now with biking, it's really adding another level, another dimension.
You know what? I'm ready. You know what? I don't think it's a good idea, but you know what? Let's give it a try, and let's be looking over your right shoulder if you're getting ready to make that right turn, my friends, because there could be. I don't think there's going to be that many bicycles on it. Personally, because I don't think, you know, when it's 112 degrees out here, you're going to see bicycles that much. Unless there's some guy with a pack on it and he's running drugs. All right, we got to take a quick break. This portion of the show has been brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Discounts for veterans, Espresso Joe's. And you can go down there now, and special purchases gives you a chance to win a Zippo watch for Father's Day. You ask them about that. Veterans always get discounts at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. We'll be right back.
You're getting tired of staring at the same four walls. You're out of your room and down on the street.
At Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue, we support our veterans and provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. If you bring in your recent eye exam receipt, we'll subtract the cost of your eye exam up to $55 from your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses. Plus, we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer and not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see the store for details. Sight for Sore Eyes has same-day service, precision crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast service and reasonably priced eyewear and veterans discounts are our specialty. At Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools, we accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call 722-9992 for an appointment today.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Ted Leidy here with NorCal Firearms Instruction at Sportsman's Warehouse. Are you tired of renewing your CCW in a boring classroom with the same old worn-out curriculum? Make the change this year to NFI's Range Renewal Program. Renew your CCW permit on a live range with NRA-certified instructors. You need 100 cartridges and the desire to become a better marksman. Find out more by calling NFI at 999-1822 or register on the web at readingccw.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Everybody calls us summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's gonna make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR 1460.
Hey,
I was right there in the rhythm of...
You're always in rhythm there, baby.
76 degrees in the downtown studios. How are y'all this morning on Wednesday? It's going to be hot today with temperatures around 96. Oh, I'm so happy it's under the triple digit. And mostly clear tonight with temperatures around 63. Sunny on Thursday, temperatures around 88. And Thursday night is clear. Beautiful sunny days, clear evenings. Weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated. They also give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call, 365-3793.
How'd you sleep last night?
Look, you know what?
What?
Not a turn. I don't remember anything. We hit the bed. We had a big social night last night. It was fabulous. Celebrated a good friend's birthday. Pam, love you. So anyway, just on our feet, walking, doing, you know how it is when you try to get your house prepared and you cook and all that stuff. Anyway, hit the bed. Next thing I know, Carl said, it's 6 o'clock.
Which is an hour later than we usually sleep.
Yeah. So I do not remember
sleep number bed.
Anything. Sleep number. My setting was 45, and I just stayed there and felt, I just feel fresh today. Do you notice my energy?
I notice your energy. Okay. In fact, it's kind of scary. here's the
three
thing.
Three sips of coffee, that's it.
Here's the other thing about it. Besides, you know, my sleep number setting is 35, is sleep number is introducing a new technology. It's called Sleep IQ technology. Available only with the sleep number beds. And what that does is you don't have to wear anything, you don't have to do anything. But what it does is it tracks from inside the bed how you're sleeping. It's going to show that if you're moving or if it looks like there could be a better number for you, it's going to tell you this on an app or via your iPad to tell you that this is a better way of sleeping. Now, how much is a good night's sleep worth to you? Well, for us, it means the difference between a good show and an outstanding show, because everything we do is good, but outstanding is when you get a good night's sleep. And how do you do this? It's through Sleep Number. And where's Sleep Number? Right down in the Target Shopping Center. Head down there, go see Brian or Janice, and they're going to show you what your sleep number setting is and how well you can sleep at night. We would not trade this bed now. We would not trade this bed. And we're getting ready to start the Sleep IQ technology, and we'll tell you what that's about and how that works here pretty soon in the next week or so. American-made, guaranteed. Consumer Reports Bed of the Year. I can't say much more than that for Sleep Number, except head on down there, say hello, tell them you're looking for a great night's sleep. We've been having, of course, on KCNR, we have an ongoing series for politics and politicians, and especially during the election year.
City Council's coming up.
In City Council, there's a number of people running. And we've had so far Patrick Jones. We've had who's a sitting city councilman, Francie Sullivan also. And now this week we're having Mike DeQuisto, Brian Weaver, Brett Weaver and Christian Schrader this
right.
week. And we start off with Michael DeQuisto. So good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Thanks for having me today.
Well, you know what? We applaud you, as we do everybody, for standing up and wanting to make a difference in our lives and in our city.
Well, it's always been important to me to try to make a difference. We've taught our kids that. We've raised them that way. You need to give something back to the community at whatever level you can give it back, whether it's picking up a piece of trash that you see on the street or serving on city council or somewhere in between. Whatever each person's satisfied with and happy with, they should do. And I think I have some ideas and thoughts that I can contribute to city council.
Well, let's talk a little bit about you first.
Let me give a selfless plug here, first of all.
Okay.
People can go to the website.
Okay.
I have a website. It's Vote DeQuisto, and DeQuisto is spelled DACQUISTO. So it's votedequisto.com. It's got all the information about me. And another one, I'm going to be at the fair for the next 4 days. I have a booth down there.
Oh, great. Well, good for you.
Is this, do we throw things?
No, is it like a meet and greet?
A meet and greet.
It's not like
it's
a
like
dunk
fanfare.
Tank. It's not a dunk tank, huh?
Dunk tank is too much money. I didn't want to do that. But you could come by and squirt me with a bottle.
But I love the fact that you can meet people. That's a great idea.
Well, I have an even better one. Anybody who's listening who comes by in the next 4 days and says that they heard me on the radio, I'll give them a free 10-minute consultation, a legal consultation.
Wow.
To see if I can help them. But they got to tell me.
Oh, that's obvious. That is just awesome. Well, you know, Michael, we've watched you from afar, really, because we're all part of the community and we go out to different events. And you are a person who shows up and supports a lot of things. So I want to commend you for that. You know, we see you supporting the community. It's not like you've been hiding under a bushel. You know.
No, we moved here in 1994 from Southern California, and from the time we first moved here, I got involved with the library and the Chamber of Commerce, and shortly after that with Rotary. I've taught people how to read at the library, done literacy classes. I've been on various boards and groups, and we just want to give back. We think it's a lovely community to live in. We want to keep it that way, and I think it's an important time for the city going forward, and I want to help guide the city and keep it to continue to prosper and do well and make it better for future kids and future generations.
Right. Well, you practice law. Can you share with our listeners what kind of law you practice?
I'm a I do civil litigation. I've done it for years. I've been a lawyer since 1978. I'm also a bankruptcy trustee, and that's an interesting job. I'm appointed by the court to look at cases that people file who file bankruptcy, and I review their assets and their liabilities, and I help them get through the process. And it can be a very difficult process and very emotionally wrenching for them and for the creditors. It's also something I've done with the litigation cases I've had for a number of years. And I think that those skills help make me someone who can participate in a future council, because one of the things that we see in the paper, and I see it by going to the council meetings, is I don't know if dysfunctional is the right word, but it's clear there's some animosity up there. And it's clear that they don't get along as well as they could. And I don't think that's good for the council. I don't think it's good for the citizens in Reading. And I wish it would change. I really do.
I think everybody would.
And I think that some fresh blood in there all across the board, there are three seats that are coming up, three out of five, would do well for the whole city and would do well for the council.
Okay. What's the most pressing issue for the city of Reading?
There's a lot of them, and each person has their own number one, number two, number three. What I hear a lot from people is what I'll call generically or generally crime and safety. And under that, there's a whole ton of specific items in there. But I think that people either have been a victim of crime, maybe it's a property crime, maybe it's a personal crime, or they have seen it, or they know someone who's been a victim, or they've read about it, or even they just perceive it. Even if they haven't been a victim, they perceive it. So now they turn an alarm system on, or now they leave their lights on at night, or now they don't want to go to a certain store and shop because they don't like the people they see there. And when
you've been listening
that,
to the show,
I see that everywhere. It's a number one issue. It's a tough issue to solve. It's not that we don't have a king, we don't have martial law, we can't solve it that way. But it needs everybody to participate and everybody to get involved. And I do have some ideas about that. But that's probably the number one issue.
Okay. So what are some of your ideas? Because, frankly, this is what everybody's going to come back out and say is law and order.
Well, and I think it should be the
safety,
number one idea, by the
public
way.
Safety. And by the way, everybody we know has been touched by crime.
Yeah.
Whether it's a small crime. And now we've got shootings on corners of two of our main intersections.
Yeah.
And Chief Plaid's going to be on later, so we'll discuss that with him. But what's a specific idea?
Well,
to knock crime down.
You have to look at the jurisdiction of what the city can do and what the county can do and what the citizens can do, because it's all involved. So, for instance, the county runs the jail. The city doesn't run the jail. So if you were to hire 1,000 police officers tomorrow, they could roust people. They could move people along. They could make the atmosphere uncomfortable. But you wouldn't have very much of a consequence because there's no place to put them. There's nothing to do to get around it. So you obviously need more space or more consequence. What can you do today to do that? One idea, and it would involve participation with the courts, the county, and the city, would be to have pretrial electronic monitoring so that right now if you're convicted and you're sentenced, they can put an ankle bracelet on you and watch you and see. Well, a judge, as a condition of bail, could impose, if he thought it was appropriate, some kind of monitoring pretrial. Now, is that going to stop somebody from doing something if they're going to want to go do it? Not necessarily, but it might prevent or deter somebody. And I'm not saying to do it to everybody. I'm not saying to do it to a first-time offender. But if you get somebody that's in there
so
the second or
somebody,
third time.
Somebody has been arrested for doing something. It's a property crime. Because a lot of them are. And they immediately get turned loose. You put a GPS on them as a reason for being turned loose.
Probably not the first time. But what if it's their fifth time? Or their sixth time, and they haven't showed up to court? You could find guidelines at which there would be people who are appropriate to...
If they don't show up for court, then they can arrest them and put them in jail, because that's really Shasta County's most wanted are those guys who've been arrested three or four times and haven't shown up for court. And what the problem is that when they arrest them, is that now they've got other charges on them. So now that, so they can put them in there. But I kind of like your idea is when you arrest them the first time, is that you put it on them then before they even go to trial. Can you do that?
Is part of the
bail?
The judge has authority to set all kinds of conditions on bail when the judge wants to impose it. But this is not strictly a city idea. And this gets back to everybody has to get involved and to want to do it and to be able to do it. I understand there are some counties that are doing it. So that's a for instance. Here's something the city specifically could do. I pay a $96 a year, $92 a year business license tax fee. And as far as I know, all I do is I get a bill and there's a record at the city of my name and my address. And if I have a fire at my office, they can call me and my home phone number. If I put a security camera up in my office or anybody else with a business, I'd give you a dollar for dollar tax credit on your future license bill. Will it solve the crime problem? No. Will it make the atmosphere and the environment more uncomfortable for somebody who might not want to break in your office if they see a security camera? Yes. Is it cheaper than hiring a new police officer? Yes. Does it cost the city out of their pocket? It only costs them potential future money. Doesn't cost them cash right now. It's an idea. It's a thought. Why not go and do that?
Well, okay, we've got to take a break here, and because that leads me to another question. Now, since you've brought it up.
Since you brought this up.
Love to talk about the hard subjects.
I want to talk about Big Brother here for a second, but you've come up, at least, Mike, you're coming up with ideas. And here's the thing is we're obviously we've got the same bunch of supervisors that we've had for the last 4 years. We got the same one returned. I have not heard one idea for them coming out to do taking care of the idea of we've got criminals up to our butt. And so where are these ideas coming from? We've got a group of people that the best minds in law enforcement in our community. Well, what do we have for doing this? We're going to get a jail. Sheriff Pasenko has got us another jail for three to four years down the road. And we need some ideas now on how to do things. And you've come up with one right away, and then here's another one. Now, this portion of the show has been brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Leonard and Associates specialize in estate jewelry, but they have gems and jewelry of all kinds, and the only trained watch repairman in the whole area. If you need your watch repaired, don't take it to another store. Just take it straight to Leonard. Leonard's a straight shooter and buys and sells silver and gold. 2225 Hilltop Drive across from Sierra Gibbs.
Candidate for city council coming back after these messages. Michael DeCisto. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Reading Mayor Rick Bassetti. Please join me and the rest of our community for the 13th annual REU Energy Fair Saturday, June 21st, from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Market Street Promenade. This year, the Energy Fair will highlight summer cooling and how to conserve energy during the hot summer months ahead. Over 40 local vendors demonstrating REU's home performance program, Energy Star appliances, water conservation products, the latest energy-saving technologies, and a fleet of plug-in electric and fuel-efficient vehicles. Activities for kids include free REU bucket truck rides, bounce houses, recreation programs, and snow cones. Mom and Dad will enjoy bonus rebates, local food vendors, drawing for Energy Star appliances, home energy makeover, and more. See you June 21st, beginning at 8:30 a.m. at the Market Street Promenade. For more information, call 339-7300. Sponsored by Reading Electric Utility. REU. Learn. Conserve. Save.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're usually too busy taking care of our patients to boast about our accomplishments. But when you're the only hospital in the North State ranked as a 100 top hospital in the nation 2 years in a row, And your emergency department is the only one in the region recognized as the certified chest pain center. Well, it was hard to keep our pride from showing. Shasta Regional Medical Center. You don't have to be the biggest to be the best.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt at Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Oh, I like this. Yeah. This is definitely one. Throw the cover back.
I want to beat that drum.
Gotta hurry up and get there to work.
Carl and Linda Butt, KCNR 1460. More talk radio shows than any other place in California. Right here in Redding, California. Local talk radio shows. 7:35 in the morning, 605-4567 is our phone number. You have questions for Michael DeQuisto, city council candidate, please give us a call at 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Orchard Nutrition. Absolutely the best place to go if you're looking for health-minded individuals working in a atmosphere of healthy and healthy food, healthy nutrition. It's right there. In our Cypress Square Shopping Center. Largest selection of natural foods and supplements in Northern California. In-store deli. 4 nutritionists on the staff to help you for free. Classes to help you with diet and a healthy lifestyle. Hey, give them a call at 244-9141. And remember, Amazing Foods for Life, the gluten-free mixes that you can pop into the oven and have gluten-free healthy muffins and rolls in this for your family for breakfast or any other time. Right there. Amazing Foods for Life started right here in Redding. Orchard Nutrition is your center for a healthy lifestyle.
All right, with us this morning. So, Chat Packers, get into the Chat Pack, or you can give a call, 605-4567. Running for City Council is Michael DeQuisto. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning again.
Okay, when we left, you said talking about cameras inside the offices. So that leads me to tech questions, you know, that you see happening in other places.
Sure.
Drones. Drones, you know, the question is, can drones be used to combat crime?
Let me give a two-part answer. When I talk about security cameras, it's part of making the environment uncomfortable for the people that you don't want to be here. And the more the environment is uncomfortable for them, the more likely they are to leave. Having a drone that they can't see doesn't necessarily make the environment uncomfortable. And I personally am not comfortable with going that far and saying that you should have drones and do things with it. I think it's an evolving technology. I think there's a long way to go before that's something that I would support or even look at. I don't think it's appropriate for right now. I think there's lots to do without doing that. It's a lot cheaper and a lot easier.
Okay. So since we're not going to get any more jail space, the idea you had was to put these GPS locators on right at the beginning during their tenures as being bad guys.
That's one idea. Let me give you another one, and this would require some combination. Crystal Creek is up there. It belongs to the county. It was it's a minor security for children. It's been closed presumably because of funding. Funding is always an issue. Maybe there's a way to get some private businesses to come together and say they would put up some money to set up some kind of business improvement district or a tax district of some kind that they voluntarily do it to help fix it or fund it or do something. But to just do nothing,
right,
I don't think is right. And that's one of the – government is set up and it provides services and it does a good job on many things. But the way that I describe government is if they have a problem, they'll study it 10 times. They'll have 10 studies, and they might implement one half of one solution 3 years later. People in private enterprise will have 10 ideas to solve a problem, and they'll implement them 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way down the list till they find one that solves it. And I think we need government to be a little more proactive and a little bit better about trying to respond it and solve it with some positive ideas.
Okay. Now, here's somebody that has good things to say about you, but this is her question.
It's my wife.
No, in fact, I know it's not. What does he think? Could you please – what does he think about the Sheraton Hotel sale, the Turtle Bay?
The Sheraton Hotel in Turtle Bay. The initial comment I have is that when we moved here, the museums were run by the city, and they got put together all together as part of Turtle Bay, and it was wonderful. And everybody in the community thought it was a great thing, and everybody was behind it and was happy for it. Here we are now 10 or 15 years later, and we have an extremely divisive issue that at the end of this vote is not going to change a lot of people's minds. The ones that are very pro for it are going to be pro for it, and the ones that are very against it for whatever reason are still going to be against it. And I find that to be sad, to be a poor situation that the community's in. Having said that, I'm in favor of the of the hotel going in, if they choose to put it in. It's private enterprise. If they want to put it in, let them put it in. If it makes it, great. If it doesn't make it, that's fine too. I find it very telling that there are no hotel owners that I know of on Hilltop or anywhere else in the city who have objected to it. And it would seem to me that would be a natural objection group who would stand up and say, wait a minute, we don't want this to come in. We don't want that to happen. So I think in general terms that's a good project.
So you're okay with the sale of the land to the McConnell Foundation?
Well, let me add
the
one,
14 acres.
Let me add one more thing. They qualified it for a ballot. They did it properly. And the voters absolutely have a right to have a say on that decision. So whatever the voters say, the voters say. And I, you know, I hope that they allow the sale to go through. I hope that's the result.
Will you work for that?
No, I'm going to let them vote and do what they want to go
okay.
do. But I'm in, I think generally it's a good idea. And let me say one more thing. If you were to take a map of the city of Reading and you were to erase every single thing that the McConnell Foundation has done or provided and then imagine that you live in this city, that's not the city I want to live in. That's not what I want to go do. There'd be no fireworks on July 4th, which they pay for every year. There'd be no bridge. God knows what Turtle Bay would be or if it wouldn't be. So I think what they've done by their actions and the amount of money they've invested, that's how I judge them, and I think it's a good thing.
Okay. One of the things we talked about is the economy. And that's one of the – you know, besides law and order and the physical safety of people is the economy here. We need jobs. We need businesses. What are some of your ideas for that?
Good jobs require a good labor force. It requires some money. It requires some people with some knowledge to help companies do it. I'll give you an example of a past situation that was great, and that's the nursing school at Shasta College where they built it downtown. The city had to get involved with the zoning and the permitting and the building, and a bunch of people got involved. We ought to be the nursing center capital of teaching for Northern California, that we ought to have that place open 24 hours a day.
That's fantastic, it. Yeah.
They get jobs, and we should go do that. Let me tell you, there's something
Simpson
else.
Just opened up their – is opening up theirs here next month.
They did. I mean, I think it's great, but, you know, run it 24 hours a day if you can. The other part is that there are a number of small entrepreneur companies that are starting up here in Shasta County. It would shock you if you saw how many there were. And I've been on an angel investor group. I'm one of the founding members. And what startup companies need is they need money, they need mentoring, and they need a space to collaborate and get together. And we have made some investments in a couple companies, and I'm shocked at what I see. There are people who are willing to start businesses, and they pay good money here in town, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year for certain training and skills. And they don't care about the regulations of the state of California. They're happy to go forward and do it. So I'm very impressed with that. That's where the city's going to grow. That's what you need to encourage. I had an idea before, and I still have it. When the police leave the police station, the city could donate that building, or they could do it for a dollar, and they could set it up as a tech incubator for people
with
tech companies to come down and collaborate together. Let them go down there and sit and talk, and that's how they do it. It's a wonderful idea. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, but it's an idea. It's something to go do. I haven't heard anybody else say it.
Empty building downtown. It's like there's great usage.
I don't know
there.
If this building
and
is the best
plus you need. Plus you. Well, you know
it,
what?
It may
why?
Not be, but it may.
But we need it. But we need as far as a tech incubation idea. It's a
yeah,
great
love
idea.
That. Absolutely. And it's absolutely. A light bulb. It's a light bulb of what to do with. A lot of people just kind of like drag their feet in the mud. What do we do with this empty space? Can't think about it. Regulations, whatever. We do have a caller on the phone. Henry, good morning. Do you have a question for Michael DeQuisto?
Yes, I do. How are you today, Linda?
I'm great, Henry. Hey, good to hear that voice of yours.
Yeah. Well, once in a while I get on the phone with a thought. the question I have is that the city is sitting on top of unfunded liabilities to an enormous amount. Now, I'd like to ask the gentleman. And I realize that the water's under the bridge. But some 2 or 3 years ago, they put a roundabout out on Old Alturas in Shasta View, which cost the city and the taxpayers more than $2 million, when they could have put a stoplight in there for something like $300,000. How would you have voted on that? But, had you been on the council?
Let me tell you, there are several parts to that question, and I'll throw a little aside. And every time I drive north on Interstate 5 and I go over the bridge at Antlers, and my understanding is they built the bridge because the curve was too tight and people were going too fast. And I looked at it and said, well, why don't you put a speed limit sign that says speed limit 45? How much cheaper would that be than to build the whole bridge? Now, having said that, and that's how I would look at things, the unfunded liabilities are a huge issue, and that has to be negotiated between the city and the various unions and what's to be paid in the future, because the city's only source of income is tax dollars. They're not a private enterprise. They can't go out and make more money. And those are serious issues. The unions are going to have to get realistic in what they're willing to do and what they want to go do. I personally am in favor of converting to some type of a 401k system where the city would make a contribution and each person would own their own retirement account. And they would not have the promise to pay forever in the future some form of pension. It's a dying form of retirement benefit, and I don't think in the future you should have it.
That's a huge statement you just made, Michael.
Well, I that's what I believe in. And there's a fundamental difference. The difference is if Ford Motor Company wants to have that, they're a private company. They can raise the price of their cars or they can lower the price of their cars and see how they do, and the union can negotiate with them. And the union can take the risk as to whether they get paid or don't get paid.
I don't think you've answered my question on the roundabout. Now, I'm not knocking the roundabout. All I'm saying is, would it have been better for the citizens of Reading, the taxpayers, to spend $300,000 instead of over $2 million?
I think your question on its face answers itself. If the stoplight solves the problem, it's better to spend less money than more money. But I believe there were some studies that said if you have the roundabout, at the end of the day, it's cheaper or the traffic can flow faster. I'm sure they came with some reason to justify the money.
Then let me ask you another question.
Okay, Henry,
this is a decision of the staff and supported by McConnell. Let me ask you this question then. Would it be better to outsource some of the staff things that the staff does if it can be done cheaper through private enterprise? And I can show you an example or two that I personally know about.
Hey, Henry, we're running over our time here, but let him answer that, and then we got to go into a break. Okay.
Thanks
for the question, Henry.
The outsourcing. Look at the library. That's a perfect example of collaborating and outsourcing. It's collaborative between the city and the county. It's run by a private company. The airport parking lot at Reading Airport, for whatever use it gets, is outsourced privately. The call center, I believe, at the REU has been outsourced privately. So there are situations where outsourcing, I think, should be investigated and would be appropriate.
Okay. Hey, we got to take a break here. Carl on the bot, our guest is Michael DeQuisto, who's running for
Reading. Flying by our time with Michael.
Yeah, running by for Reading City Council. This won't be the only time that Michael's going to be on, of course. We're going to have all of our candidates on several times. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I would like to thank all of our customers who shop local. It does make a difference. With spring here, fill up those propane bottles and forklift tanks. We just got another load of ethanol-free 93 in, so after you pick up your weed eaters and lawnmowers from Al's Saw Shop, stop by and fill up your jugs. We have log and shake oil in 5-gallon pails ready for your fences and decks. We have CFN card locks in Redding, Corning, and Weaverville. Also, now's a good time to have Johnny check out your heater if you haven't touched it in a few years or you think of trading up to get a new one. NorthernLightsEnergyInc.com. If you don't have time to come to town, give us a call. We have delivery trucks and some of the best drivers out there. All of our employees is what makes this company successful. Northern Lights Energy, Redding, Corning, and Weaverville, 241-2196. Thank you for your business.
Northern Lights Energy.
At Pulse Urgent Care, their goal is to get you in and out quickly. Pulse Urgent Care is open 7 days a week in their newly expanded facility from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m., providing care for the entire family, from infants to great-grandparents. If you suffer from allergies, visit newly expanded Pulse Urgent Care today for short-term allergy relief. For more information, call 722-1111 or walk in to Pulse Urgent Care on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart in Reading. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange has always believed that peace of mind is selling your gold and silver coins and bullion for a fair price. It's protecting your wealth with gold and silver. It's knowing your family has access to nourishing quality food and emergency supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store with locations in Reading, Chico, Corning, and we're happy to announce the reopening of our store in the Holiday Shopping Center in Palisadro. To celebrate this, we're giving away a free personal stainless steel water filter bottle, a $32 value, with the purchase of a 200-serving emergency food bucket while supplies last. These are a convenient and versatile food storage product. Just add hot water for quick meals at home or grab and go if you have to evacuate. And don't pay more and wait weeks for delivery. In Reading, we're located in the Sunset Plaza at 3637 Eureka Way next to the Round Table. In Chico, we're located on East Avenue in the Safeway Marketplace. In Corning, we're in the Olive Tree Plaza. And once again, in Palisadro at the Holiday Market Center. Come to the Patriot and get peace of mind today for less.
Hey, folks, do you know where your Swap and Sell is? It's right here every Saturday morning with Ernie and Dave at 7 to 8 on KCNR.
Moving sales, estate sales, we just talk about everything. Swap and Sell with Ernie and Dave is what you need to get your Saturday off to a great start. Entertainment for the whole family.
Almost.
Swap and Sell every Saturday, 7 to 8.
Right here on KCNR.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. 7:51 in the morning. We run out of time here. This portion of the show is brought to you by Reading Home Helpers and Sharon Clark. So, you know, their 10th year of business here in town. All of our caregivers are background checked, drug screened, bonded, and insured. And Sharon will provide you a personal in-home consultation. Just give her a call at 226-8350. It's not always for your older, for your parents and for older people. It's also for younger people and people that are in need. And Sharon has got just a great record. Check out her website, Reading Home Helpers. Good person, a tremendous energy, and has the and is very supportive of veterans. All of this with Reading Home Helpers. Our guest, Michael DeQuisto, running for Reading City Council. Here's some questions here. The city of Reading has a no loitering ordinance. So why do you think there's so many homeless people allowed to just camp out on public streets? And you know, I mean, I know you're not in any type of position, but this is a good question. And there's people commenting on the question.
People
afterwards
are getting tired of it. They want something done. So yeah. I think they'll get behind a politician, but somebody running if they think, will you work with trying to solve
ideas
the
do you
problem?
In other words, we've got an ordinance. I mean, what can the city council do on this?
Let me give a brief, and if it's a brief civics lesson so people understand, because they may or may not know what a city council person can do. Five people run the council. They hire two people. They hire the city attorney and the city manager. Everybody in the city, all the department chiefs, including the police and every other department, works for the city manager. So the power structure is such that the city council tells the city manager, this is what we'd like to have enforced, what we'd like to have done. He then meets with the chief of police or the other departments and says, this is what the council wants. And obviously you can have group meetings and group discussions. That is how you would go do it. That's the mechanism for getting it done. I'm not on the council, so I don't know what they have done or what they haven't done. I'm sure they're trying and doing what they think is appropriate at the moment, but it's clear that there are a lot of people out there, and it's an issue that comes up and that I hear about all the time. I would actively work on that. That would be something I don't know if I do it every day, but I do it as much as I needed to until we saw a positive change. And I think everybody wants that.
So I think I don't know if it's harassment or not, because I don't know enough. I know I've ridden along with them, and they check out a lot of these, but it just seems like it's more and more. There's going to be more this summer of homeless and people with transients on our streets. Mr. DeQuisto is speaking somewhat as if government is responsible for fixing things. But what would he do to get government out of the people's way? Is he aware? What about the how, you know, government interferes a lot? What about reduction in fees redoing the way they do business down in City Hall?
Let me try to first straighten what I think is a misconception, or I haven't tried to say it. I don't believe government can solve every problem. There are very few problems government can solve. But police and fire is a service that government should provide. I don't think that should be a private service. So when I say there's certain things they have to provide, that would be an example of what they could go and do. Our county, according to a study from UCLA, and it may be the city as well, I think it was both combined, takes 24 months from start to finish to get a building permit done. Now, you tell me what kind of project. If you want to build a new radio station or I want to expand to my office, I'm going to plan 2 years ahead or I'm going to open a business. How can I last 2 years before I could even get the consent to move forward and go? That's wrong. That shouldn't be done. So that should be streamlined. That should be changed. A lot of the things the city can do, and when I suggested about giving a credit for the putting in a security camera, you could give a credit off your electric utility bill if you have your lights on at night to keep people away from your house. So the city can contribute by giving credits or giving waiving fees or doing things like that that will help encourage activity, not discourage it.
Okay. But the reduction of fees, and one of the things you said, I mean, people all the time are saying here, you know, like you, what you said, hey, I bought this piece of property to start this bakery, and it cost me this much for the property. It's cost me twice as much for the fees and for the permits and all this stuff. When they did a moratorium on the fees for building, I think last year or the year before last, construction went way up, and then that went away.
You don't get an argument from me. I think they should cut them in half, or they should do something to encourage it. It costs $35,000 as a fee to build a house.
The Chamber of Commerce here did a survey of all of the ones in the businesses here in town, and about 20% returned their votes in, somewhat like our voting record here in California, and said that they would be okay with a half-cent increase, in taxes here. To pay for for police.
Here's how I look at that. The city of Anderson had a vote, similar vote. I don't know the final result, but I saw shortly after election night it either went down or it was within 10 votes one way or the other. It wasn't passed overwhelmingly.
No,
but
it didn't pass.
But there's a related measure that said if it passes, where would you like it spent? And that was close to 60% or more who want it spent on public safety. So what that tells me is the public wants public safety dealt with, but they don't want to increase their taxes to do it. So I am not convinced that increasing taxes is the way to go do it. I don't think it is. So right now I'm not in favor of it.
Okay, here's the great thing about you being running for city council is that you're going to have a booth at the fair for 4 days. Anybody who's interested in meeting Michael DeQuisto can go in and have like a FaceTime, talk about an issue, to get to know the candidate. I think that's brilliant. Now, we just have a few minutes left in our show. Do you have final thoughts? And I know, Carl, you wanted to ask one more.
I just want to ask one more question, which we ask everybody that's running for office, Republican or Democrat.
It's an easy question, right?
It is an easy. Are you a Republican or a Democrat? Are you a registered Republican or Democrat?
I'm registered as a Republican.
Okay. Then last 2.5 minutes of yours.
Wow, that's a long time to
talk.
Yeah,
final thoughts. You know, what are you – shoot.
Let me give a couple pitches. My website is votedequisto.com, and DeQuisto is DacQuisto. We've been in this city since 1994. We love it. We raised our kids here. They went away. They're working in the Bay Area. I would like to see more families raise their children and have them come back to Redding and find good jobs here, a good way to stay. If you have good education and you have good jobs – it makes the community stronger. It makes it more vibrant. It helps get rid of crime. It gives people a better attitude. All in all, it's a wonderful way to go, and it's something that the city council and the county supervisors and the local elected officials should be looking at all the time. They should be constantly looking at it. It's a government that is meant to work for all the people and listen to all the people's ideas. Obviously, you may make decisions that not everybody's happy with. That's the nature of the beast. But you do the best you can. You explain it. That's what I would go and do. I had an idea and a thought, and I probably would do this, is that if I get elected, I would have an open day at my office, maybe every Thursday for an hour, and people want to come talk to me one-on-one, they can come talk to me.
I like that.
And sit down and say, I have a problem and I have an issue. I think that's important.
What a novel approach, except I think is what the city council members find is anybody – that open door policy is 5 days a week because they catch them. They catch them and just stop them.
Okay, continue on.
It is open 5 days a week, but that would be a way that people wanted to go do it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You could post on a Facebook page what you did every day or every other day or once a week and mm-hmm. say, this is what I did for the city.
Love it.
The people are entitled to know what you're doing and look at it, and you're supposed to tell them. That's your job as a city council. I'd be honored to serve. And I hope people come out to the fair and see me and ask me any questions they want. And remember, if you say you heard me on the show, you get a free 10-minute consultation.
We may come down.
I like the hook.
Can we combine that and get 20 minutes?
two people get 15 minutes.
All right.
total.
All right, Michael DeQuisto running for Reading City Council. New ideas, new people. Something to think about. You can check it out at DeQuisto.
VoteDeQuisto.com.
Oh, all right.
That's DaCQUISTO.
Yes, it is.
DeQuisto.
This portion of the show has been brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. And if you've got a heating or cooling system and it's hot out there, then you call Martin and his people. Give them a call, 221-2642. Check out their website at homecomfort.org. After the break, we'll have Reading Police Chief Rob Pelletti joining us. We'll be right back.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel is telling Congress more details about the prisoner swap for Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. House Armed Services Committee Chairman, meanwhile, Buck McKeon says the exchange was very disturbing.
The committee has begun a full investigation into the administration's decision. It's unprecedented negotiations with terrorists, the national security implications of releasing these dangerous individuals from U.S. custody, and the violation of national security law.
Hagel says the decision to transfer the five Guantanamo Bay Cuban detainees into Qatar's hands in exchange for Bergdahl was a tough call for the president. He defended the move, though, saying that the five were only what he called enemy belligerents but had not been implicated in any attacks against the United States. Also at SRNnews.com, a home run for Tea Party conservatives last night in Virginia, where unknown challenger David Brat beat out incumbent House Majority Leader Mary Cantor. And despite the loss, Cantor vowed to go on fighting for conservative ideas.
Well, I look forward to continuing to fight with all of you for the things that we believe in, for the conservative cause, because those solutions of ours are the answer to the problems that so many people are facing today.
And this analysis from Gary Bauer, the president of American Values.
He became a symbol, I think, of a growing sense that the Republican establishment isn't fighting President Obama hard enough and doesn't understand how perilous the country's state is right now.
Cantor is currently the second most powerful member of the U.S. House. This is SRN News.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
Cloud may be just another overused buzzword, but the cloud is an effective computing environment that can save your business time and money. Barracuda Networks is no stranger to the cloud. In fact, all of our security and storage solutions connect to the cloud for continuous updates and off-site redundancy. Barracuda's cloud also plays host to our email security, web security, file sharing, and e-signing services. We even offer solutions on Amazon's AWS and Microsoft's Azure public cloud platforms. To try any of our cloud-connected solutions free, visit barracuda.com/cloud.
The Food and Drug Administration is reminding pregnant women to stay away from certain fish that can be high in mercury. FDA Acting Chief Scientist Dr. Steven Ostroff, though, stressing that the agency wants women to eat some seafood.
For adults, this means about two or three servings of fish per week, depending on the portion size. The amounts given to children will, of course, be smaller, and we include some recommendations on how much fish young children should eat depending on their age.
Meanwhile, Dr. Steven Ostroff says fish sold in the U.S. for the most part is very low as far as the risk of containing too much mercury.
Any woman who's concerned about the risk from fish should understand that most types of commercially available fish in the U.S. are toward the low end of the spectrum in terms of how much methylmercury they contain.
But the new policy announced by the FDA not going over well with some consumer groups. They've long been pushing for stricter labeling requirements on all fish that's sold. This is SRN News. The Federal Aviation Administration has granted the first permission for commercial drone flights over land.
BP Energy has won permission to use a Puma drone to survey pipelines, roads, and equipment in Alaska. In fact, the first flight took place Sunday. The Puma is a small hand-launched craft about 4.5 feet long with a 9-foot wingspan. Drones are often less expensive to operate than manned aircraft and are easier to maneuver.
That's SRN's Rich Thomason reporting. Much of the commercial demand for unmanned aircraft is for small drones, some of which weigh only a few pounds. Relatives of passengers on that missing Malaysia Airlines flight are not giving up their effort to get more information about what happened to the plane. About 24 relatives went to a building in Beijing that houses the airline's regional office today, but they were kept from entering the building. The plane is thought to have crashed somewhere in the southern Indian Ocean. More details at srnnews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. It is 8:05 in the morning on June 11th. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. And let's just start off with our friends from Wells Fargo Advisors, Susan Eastman. Susan.
Good morning, Carl and Linda. While major averages remain in the red, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is off 94 points at 16,851. The S&P 500 is down 8 points at 1942, and the NASDAQ Composite is down 4 points at 4,333. The three most actively traded stocks on the NASDAQ, Micron Tech, up 95 cents at $30.46, Apple up 36 cents, trading at $94.61 per share, Facebook down 33 cents at $65.43. For local bank stocks of interest, Trico Bank shares down 31 cents at $23.51. Cornerstone Community Bank is flat and trading at $9.25. Bank of Commerce down 6 cents at $6.51. In the bond department, the 10-year Treasury note is priced to yield 2.63%. And for commodities, gold is up $2 an ounce at $12.62, silver up a nickel at $19, and crude oil up 20 cents, trading at $104 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Susan Eastman, thank you so much. You know, Susan is one of the reasons that you need to go on down to see the Wells Fargo Advisors. At least give them a call at 243-7561. 243-7561. She's going to show you how your investments can work for you, how to obtain a financial freedom, how to make things better for your family. And they're the experts. Again, 243-7561, and then head on down to their offices on Park Marina Drive. Wells Fargo Advisors.
It's going to be a hot day with temperatures. Highs will be 96 today. We're currently at 80 degrees. I know the guys here are saying the weather rock is iffy. It's somewhere, but it is 80 degrees. Mostly clear tonight with temperatures around 63. And tomorrow, Thursday, boy, the week is flying by, will be around 88. Friday's highs of 88. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends.
Hey, you know what
well,
I have?
Guess what?
You know what I have?
What do you have? It's not contagious, I hope.
It's got nothing to do with hump day. I have two tickets. That's right. The Shasta District Fair is starting today. I've got two tickets that are good for today through the 14th. Two tickets to the fair.
Today's Kids Day, too.
Yeah, today's Kids Day and the 605-4567. Give us a call, and you can win tickets to the fair for any time this weekend.
We'll be there Friday night.
We'll be there Friday night. Linda's going to be judging a contest.
A singing contest.
A singing contest down there.
That'll be a lot of fun.
You know, and I'm not singing, so.
Well, we have the tickets given away. So, Dan, I know you're listening right now, so congratulations. We'll have those tickets for you at the front.
So we have a winner. Okay. We'll be giving more away tomorrow and Friday, too. We'll be giving away a lot of tickets. Well, six tickets more. Okay, we've got that. Okay, good morning. We had Michael DeQuisto on the last hour, candidate for city council. It was an interesting interview, new thoughts, new ideas. So, but our guest for this hour is the leader of that
thin blue line, the El Supremo, the the El Rocco of the police. Okay. Reading Police Chief Rob Paletti.
Good morning.
And a friend of mine.
How you doing?
Doesn't mean that we don't sit around and roll around on the floor here poking each other in the eye at times. We have these ideas. Well, what do you think about that? Oh, thumb in the eye. Good morning.
How are you?
We're fine. How are you doing? You're looking like a long week, huh?
Yeah, it's been doing a lot of running around. My wife and I have been done 1,100 linear feet of field fence to keep all those dogs and cats in.
You know. Haven Humane is naming a whole wing after you, by the way.
Yeah, we've taken a few from Haven Humane, so we need to keep them locked up. So doing a lot of work around the house.
Okay. I know you guys are busy, too.
Yeah.
The shooting.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what?
Front page.
We got, you know what?
Stabbing, Rob, shootings.
You know, Rob, we did what we tell everybody not to do for the last 4 years since you've come aboard. And what was that? Is to lock your doors of your car. So Saturday night, we didn't lock our doors of the cars.
We had our grandkids. We were just,
you know,
like,
you can come up with all types of reasons. We didn't do it for the only time. I'm sure the sensor lights came on, which shone right into the room, but we were, like, you know, tired. And they went through our cars. They stole some loose dollar bills and a camera. We made a report to police. But the thing is, they did not destroy the cars. They stacked everything neatly in the seat, both seats. No, I mean it. They didn't just trash it. They didn't do anything to
very
it.
Very kind of them as they're taking
they
your
left,
property.
Yeah, yes. They left change. They left flashlights. They left GPS. They left sunglasses. They left all types of stuff. But it may be because we got up early and maybe we scared them away. I don't know. But the fact is that when we talked to the police officer who said, you know what, they could just be walking up and down the street every night.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we thought of that was, and then you just go check cars.
Yeah.
And if it's open, it's theirs.
Well, there's a lot of change going on right now. We've talked about this a lot as the weather changes, the transient population shifts and migrates. And one of the things that we started 2 weeks ago and we've been talking about a little bit is Mike Johnson, the chief from Anderson, and I went down to the California Police Chiefs Association, and they had a segment on or a class on strategies to deal with the homeless, and was put on by San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara and Ventura. So we came up with this idea based on some things that they're doing and looking at some of their strategies. We have two mental health outreach workers to deal specifically with the homeless that were too afraid to go out and do their jobs, eligibility workers that weren't out in the field. So what we did is we married those social services up with a police officer. And 2 days a week, Monday and Wednesdays, they spend out in the field in the transient camps. With who goes out is the rescue mission so that they can offer them immediate shelter that day. They go out with an eligibility worker so that they can connect them with the services to solve that condition. And they go out with two mental health workers to help start to make contact with the homeless that are mentally ill to try to get them the treatment and the help that they need. And that the second aspect of that is also to gather statistics, to get us an idea of what that true picture of the homeless population in Reading looks like. Are you from Reading? If you're not from Reading, what brought you to Reading? Are you addicted to drugs? Are you mentally ill? What are the facets? Are you already getting government assistance to not be homeless? And why are you still living like a transient in a camp? So we're trying to get a better handle on what that population looks like so that we can formulate strategies to be able to deal with them.
How's it working?
It's working well. We've been doing it for about 2 weeks now. We haven't made enough contacts to get any real solid statistics as of yet. We're going to do it for several months so that we can kind of get a real good picture. The chief in
You're not having any problem finding them, are you?
Oh, no.
Because I have a few places if you can't.
We started.
Start down at Safeway and then walk across the street.
Yeah, we started in Linden Canyon. Okay. They spent two days in Linden Canyon. And they're moving from location to location. The program itself is not something that's going to be a quick fix. But we're trying to develop a picture of what it truly looks. It's hard to develop strategies to deal with a problem if you don't have a true understanding of the problem.
You need intelligence about what you're doing so that you can make a plan.
Now, in San Luis Obispo, you know, they qualify them as ready for assistance, resistant to assistance, and unable. We're making it a little simpler and calling it will take help, won't take help, can't take help, so that we can qualify them. But, in San Luis Obispo, you're talking about 20% are ready, 60% are resistant, and 20% are unable. So that resistant group, the ready group and the unable group take up a majority of the social services that are available. That resistant group and the unable group assume a ton of police resources. And and do an abundance of that crime. So
curious to find out, and maybe you can come back, and I know we got to rush here to take a break. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I was saying. That's pointing at the clock.
Okay.
But, I mean,
so,
it doesn't mean we
all
have
right,
to.
All right. So in 6 months, I would love to have you come back with a report. I'd like to hear how many of the people that we are seeing that are homeless on the street are from Redding. I know you're trying to discover that now. And how many people have come here because of perhaps pot, drugs, or they thought that they could get easy assistance? Because I know in Trinity County, people used to go up there because Northern California was a place that you could get on welfare easily or get assistance easily, and then after that would run out or whatever, they just drop out. So I'm curious to know how many people, the transients, are they transients? Did they just drop out, actually grew up in Redding and kind of dropped out? Or they just came here because it was easier, it made it easier for them? And how humane is it really if we gave them a one-way bus ticket out of town? Where is the bus ticket? Where would that go to?
I can answer them those
okay,
questions after
good.
The break if you want.
That's great. Okay. The our guest is Redding Police Chief Rob Paletti. And we also, one of the questions we had when Mike DeQuisto was here was, we have no loitering ordinances. And doesn't that mean that they can't loiter? So
yeah.
Can we address that one too? All right, we'll be right back after these messages.
Shasta like never before with a houseboat from Holiday Harbor. A houseboat is a fun and affordable way to relax with family and friends. Holiday Harbor has something for everyone, from personal watercraft to paddle boards, ski boats to towables, and so much more. Already have a boat? Bring it out and leave it in one of the Holiday Harbor slips. Food, supplies, or a little marine repair? Holiday Harbor has it. Staycation on the lake with Holiday Harbor. Holiday Harbor Resort and Marina, 238-2383 or lakeshasta.com.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Redding, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Everybody calls us. Summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us. 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
Howdy, Redding. Nate Abarea here. It really is a privilege getting to broadcast live sports here on KCNR 1460, and once a week, I even get to host my own talk show. The NorCal Sports Show, presented by Tavan Car Wash, can be heard every Tuesday night at 6, right here on Free Fire Radio. Tavan Car Wash is Redding's friendly hometown car wash, and they are proud to be a part of the North State's only local sports radio show. Tune in, call in, let it rip. The NorCal Sports Show, Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, KCNR 1460.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Redding chiropractor, and
Josie Salas-Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
And the dance floor is crowded, by the way.
By the way, there is no room on my dance card anymore at the county jail.
Let's rock.
All right. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. More talk radio shows, more local talk radio shows than any other place in California, right here in KCNR 1460. 8:20 in the morning, June the 11th. 81 degrees out there, heading for 104. 605-4567 is our phone number. And it is
for 98.
98, darling.
We're heading for 98
it's
today.
It's a big difference. But
it's 81 degrees, heading for 94.
But according to the weather, it will feel like 104.
It'll feel like, you know what, if you walk around outside with a protective vest on, like our police do, it'll feel like 110. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show is one of the ways to take care of crime. Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. John Bastiani prides himself.
You can buy mace there, too.
You can buy mace there. You can buy baseball bats. No, you can't buy baseball bats. John Bastiani prides himself on having ammo and guns and firearms of all kinds. Great prices for his customers. He takes, gives, you know, he has extremely good customer service. Does Bastiani Arms. Everything in stock and at fair prices. Give him a call at 222-8222. Again, located at 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. Our guest is Reading Police Chief Rob Paletti. And Linda asked a whole series of questions before we left.
Yeah, he said, I was talking about busing.
And he said, I can answer all
okay,
those.
Okay, so we talked about it and, at the break, but let's go back.
And at the end of that, I want to talk to him about the this seems like a kind of a random shooting.
Yeah.
At the end of that. Okay. The busing, bus program.
How many people are transients? How many people are homeless that are Reading natives that just drop out? How many people are here that have come because of easy drugs or easy to get into services where they can get services to get taken care of easy?
Well, and that's part of the data collection that we're trying to do. Anecdotally, from talking to different people. You know, Jessica Delaney does a lot of outreach to the homeless. She will tell you that our population is chronically poor and local. But I think she's dealing with that ready group or that will accept help group. My officers deal with the won't group, and that group is not local. They are here for a lot of those different things. They come in this time of the season. They're called trimmers. They're here to assist with the marijuana production. They live like transients while they're here, but they're not actually transient. So I think it depends on which of that population that you encounter, whether they're local or whether they're not. In talking to the initial couple weeks that they've gone out, they're encountering a lot of girls that came here with their boyfriends for marijuana 215 carts that their boyfriends have now left and they're stranded. So I think when you talk about a certain portion of that population that is stranded in Reading, came here for whatever reason, got stranded here, wants to get home but don't have the resources to, I think a bus ticket program would work well. I think that you don't want to do a program like that to just start shipping your issues to other communities and having them have to deal with it. But there is a portion of that that is stranded here from – you know, wherever they came from. And as long as they've got a family member to connect to on the other end or a job to connect to on the other end, I think that a bus program, ticket program to get them back to their family and their loved ones and their support group would work well.
What about the you know, the fact of sending somebody back, is, I think, is a good idea. You could even offer them money. That you say, fine, we're going to give you a ticket home. Here's food money to eat at various places on the way down, you know, tokens or something.
I'm sure there'd be some private funding for that.
Oh, and here's $500. When you get there, home, that's when you get the money. After you've established yourself there, then then here's some money to help you get started. I think there's a lot of businesses that would do that. I'd love to be able to ship home 100 people, like that, just gone.
San Francisco has a program. I think it's called Operation Homeward Bound or Operation Homeward Connect.
Something like that.
They claim that they've, you know, reunited about 3,500 families since they started the program. They also keep a database, though. So you get to take advantage of that once. It's not here for –
if you come back again.
Yeah, yeah. It's not here for us to pay for your vacation. But you have to have a verified family member or job at the other end. You have to – they don't give them money. They pay for their bus ticket and they give them box lunches that will carry them through that trip so that they don't stop and use it on drugs in the interim and burden some of the community.
MREs.
Yeah, well, I mean,
food.
Good enough for soldiers.
Yeah, no. See, that's no. See,
they're not really good enough for soldiers. They're,
They're good enough for Marines.
They're cat food.
They're good enough for Marines because Marines can can eat it and continue to fight. Yeah. We don't need hot food all the time like some people.
I don't need hot food either. I just need something that doesn't cause. So I can go fight.
Yeah.
Anyway, you've got to be, but you've got to have that acid in your system. It just breaks this stuff down. But the point is that good. You know, I'd like to see a program like that too. All right, let's go to the no loitering, because this question has come up again. There are no loitering signs. We have an ordinance that says no loitering. I think no loitering means you just can't hang around in one spot. Is that right?
Right. I mean, there are certain places where loitering is designed. You know, I mean, let's face it, the parks are designed to loiter in. And hang out. I mean, that's what a purpose of a park is to go
and
recreate and loiter. That's right. What they're designed for. Now, the problem is we got the wrong crowd loitering in our parks.
Sidewalks, though, no.
Okay.
Sidewalks, no. In front of businesses that are posted, no. We do cite people for it. Unfortunately, with the condition of the jail and other things, they just don't respond to it.
They just ignore you?
So, yeah, they basically.
I do not. Now, I have made a major strike, and I've said this out loud. And recently, I had the grandkids last week. Conveniently, I could go to Safeway. I used to go to Safeway. I call it Crackway, by the way. I just do. And I just said to the kids, I'm not going to Safeway. I don't feel safe. I would, you know, under my supervision, I would not take them to Safeway. When I go to Safeway, I just feel like all of a sudden I got to go into the combat zone.
Yeah.
I turn my rings around. I start to look like I'm going to hit the floor any 5 minutes because there may be a gunshot.
And we feel sorry for the people there at Safeway. I mean, yeah, it's the stores, the people in there are good people. I mean,
one of the problems that we run into is that when you open your business to the public, you open your parking lots and things like that. I can't necessarily, as a police officer, go force them to leave. Private business owners can, or their agents can. So, you know, it pains me as a police chief to say, you know, hire private security to come run them off, because private security can as a private agent of the business. And we can't always do that. They have to sign a citizen's arrest for trespassing and other things. And quite frankly, right now, with the resources where they are, you know, we've got, during daytime, we've got roughly 100,000 people in the city. We've got 60 square miles to cover, and we just don't have the staffing to cover it as well as we should.
Well, even if – and that's true. But even if you doubled the arrest – there's no place to put them.
Well, no, there's no place to put them, but they still don't like getting arrested. So, you know, police officers are a deterrent whether or not – I mean, if you just look at, you know, communities that had no change in prior to AB 109 going into effect, and the difference that they had in crime rates before the economic problems and after when they cut their police forces, you know, there was no change to jail spacing or prison sentences or anything else from 2008 to 2011 when prison realignment went into effect. But there was an increase in crime rates in those communities because of the reduction of police officers.
And I agree. And I do agree. We need to have a strong police force that has the numbers for it. But we have to come up with an idea that seems that nobody has come up with yet on where to put people. And to find out, we've got a bunch of city councilmen coming in. We still have the same group of county supervisors that we had before, so they haven't come up with an idea yet. To do with them.
You know, Sheriff Pasenko's going to, you know, did a yeoman's job in getting and securing that grant funding for the 64 beds.
But that's the exception. Though.
Right. Tom also, to his credit, has designed a jail that can be easily expanded in more of a, sectional modular type base. Not necessarily modular buildings, but it can be built in sections to continue to expand that facility. So I think Tom's on the right track with being able to expand our capacity, but it takes time to do that. So you have to have other strategies. So I heard this morning about supervised release on a GPS bracelet. That program is in place.
Okay.
So it was a little slow to take off, but Tracy Neal is working very hard to keep that going and keep it staffed. Unfortunately, sometimes, though, judges have different opinions. And the judges say, you know, and it's taken us a while to kind of get there. But, you know, the judges say, no, that guy doesn't get released. That guy's going to jail, which, you know, I respect that. But the fact of the matter is there's no room at the end. So if you don't put him on the GPS bracelet and you put him into mandatory custody, and the classification officer then has to sit down and make a decision as to who goes and who stays. And oftentimes those people go. And I'm telling you, that job is horrible.
I sat there with him. and he was on the show here. And you're right. It's not easy. In fact, correction officers, I think might have even a tougher job than your guys do
in some ways. And you know, the population of the jail with prison realignment has changed significantly.
Talking gang members, talking Aryan Brotherhood, all of a sudden showing up.
Is it possible that the jail that's downtown, can that just be used I mean, I know that that's funding, but, you know, if somebody decided privately, just like a lot of people have done things to make things happen in this town privately, to have a bigger jail built on the outskirts of town that would hold the higher risk felons and have the downtown, because you've got your hearings and things that have to happen where, you know, maybe somebody's just sold overnight that would be for the petty thefts or for the first time offenders. But the big guys go out of town. Why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we working towards that?
Well, the sheriff can contract with other sheriff's departments. So, you know, the big problem for the sheriff when it comes to, you know, building another, like when he had that, you know, 200 bed facility that he got grant funding for, but that was $7 or $8 million a year to keep it open. If you look at the government code and the title,
you can build it. Building it is not a problem.
Yeah. You know, by the time if you look at the government code on what the sheriffs have to supply, between medical care, mental health capabilities, ADA compliance, commissary privileges, visiting privileges. I mean, there is like 200 pages of stuff that sheriffs have to supply to the inmates so that it's considered, you know, humane.
And it depends on the kind of facility too.
Absolutely.
And so, to have the type of facility. But I've been working on this. I've been looking at this. And in fact, Chief and I've talked about this on some ideas. But time for a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. Our guest is Reading Police Chief Rob Poletti. I'd like to address the that random shooting all of a sudden on a main, what was it? Cypress and Churn Creek. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just like in the middle of a lot of stuff happening right there. Random shooting yesterday at 1 a.m. We'll be right back.
At Cypress or Eyes on Cypress Avenue, we support our veterans and provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. If you bring in your recent eye exam receipt, we'll subtract the cost of your eye exam up to $55 from your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses. Plus, we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer and not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see the store for details. Cypress or Eyes has same-day service, precision crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast service and reasonably priced eyewear and veterans discounts are our specialty. At Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools, we accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call 722-9992 for an appointment today.
Ah, yes, this is the life. Sun, surf, sand, living on island time. It's good to take a break. Yeah, maybe someday, but right now, there's work to be done. And if you're a business owner, you know that presenting a professional appearance can make all the difference in the world. That goes double for your office. Usually it's the very first impression people get of your company. Join the dozens of North State businesses that have their commercial spaces professionally cleaned by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Since 1987, Maui Bob and his team have embraced the Aloha spirit, putting their clients first with an emphasis on customer satisfaction. And who knows, if your business is more successful because your offices reflect that attention to detail that professional office cleaning gives, maybe you will have more time for that island getaway. Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, on the web at MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars?
Coachmaster Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
It's Carl and Linda Bach and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
Yes, 80 degrees in the downtown studios. How are you on this Wednesday hump day?
8:34 in the morning, 605-4567 is our phone number, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, hopping in the chat room there. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Discounts for seniors and veterans, great haircuts, great prices. It's the Cheers of barbershops right down there in Cypress Square. I'm going to see DC today. You know what? Discounts for seniors and veterans, and it's, like I said, man's last stronghold. I see many of our police are down there because they're being manly type of guys. And Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. All right, Reading Police Chief Rob Plutty is our guest, and we've been talking about different ideas on, you know, on incarceration, but, and something, we've got to come up with something here. But we just had something that's kind of unusual. I mean, we have crime, and I want to, as we go on, I want to start talking about something you'd mentioned during a break too about different substances. But we had this thing happened Monday night. That's unusual, isn't it?
It is. We've had a couple of random acts that have kind of are out of the norm for our community. We have that shooting. We have the coffee cup, you know, road rage thing where we've got, you know, that guy in custody. Red Bluff just had a homicide last night too.
Red Bluff did?
Night before last. So I was talking.
Yeah, there's somebody. We've seen people being knifed, and just all different types.
Yeah, it's all different stuff. And you know, I'll reserve comment on what the circumstances were in that until the investigation's done, and then we'll press release everything and be very open with the public about what took place, as we always are. There's still an impression that I get when I go out and talk to people that violent crime is on a huge rise, and the statistics at the department aren't showing that. We've talked a little bit about underreporting.
Are not showing it. Okay.
I've talked a little bit about, you know, underreporting on the property crime side. We usually don't get underreporting on the violent crime side except, you know, maybe sexual assault. So usually, you know, when you have a shooting, obviously, you know, we find out about it. We don't have an underreporting problem there. So, you know, that the violent crime is not on the rise, but we are getting some of that random crime that or seems random, but once we get into it, we find out that, you know, what the facts and circumstances
maybe are. Maybe it wasn't random?
Well, I don't know in this case.
The shooting?
I haven't got a briefing on this one from the Investigations Division yet, so I'm not referencing that one. But, you know, we had the shooting, you know, a few months ago, the homicide. Well, that was related to marijuana. We've had, you know, some other instances that seem random on the face, and then when we get into them, we find out that they weren't as random as we thought they were. That is not the case in this one. I haven't got a briefing on that one yet, but when we get it solved, and we will get it solved because I've got a good investigations group over there that you know, when we have shootings or homicides or things like that, that everything else goes to the side.
You usually solve all those, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. We don't have very many unsolved homicides in the last 20 years. So the investigations does a great job of that, and we'll figure out who did this, and we'll get that solved, and then we'll be able to explain to the public exactly what happened.
Okay. Are you getting just anecdotal feedback like we do about people are really concerned that they don't feel quite as safe as they used to be and all these things?
Well, you know, we did at my last town hall meeting, and you can look at the graph on the Reading Police website. If you go to the left-hand side, there's a button there that says crime statistics, and you can go to the last PowerPoint for the town hall meeting. But I put up a graph that showed total violent crime numbers with no taint for – you know, percent increase or anything else, just raw numbers that people can look at. And it chronicles violent crime from 1971 to present, just in raw numbers of violent crimes, along with a line that shows what the population change was during that time frame. And if you look, we had a big spike in violent crime in the late 80s, and we had a big spike in violent crime between 2007 and 2010, and it's kind of tapered off since then. Now, if you look at that graph line, obviously with 90,000 people, as opposed to 55,000 people, that graph line is higher in the spike area than it was when there were 55,000 people. But last year, in just raw numbers of violent crime, we actually had less than they had in 1988 when there was 55,000 people in the city of Reading. So unfortunately, I think that
that my philosophy of being very transparent and doing press releases and feeding stuff to the press has changed people's impression of what violent crime looks like in their community because they know about it. And I don't think that there was that intense press release as we're doing now.
Something like there's always been these problems in our society. We just didn't have internet and 24-hour day news.
That's part of it. And part of it is we are seeing especially on the Sheriff's Department jurisdiction, the tertiary crimes that come with marijuana production. When you have a cash crop that is worth a lot of money, you have some people that are growing absolutely within the confines of the law, whether you agree with the law or not, but they have the product. I want the product. I don't want to pay for that product, so I'm going to go take it, and they're going to defend it, and then we have these problems where they're shooting each other. So, the big thing that's changing in our community, I mean, this community has had a problem with methamphetamine for a long time. And that, I think, comes with the demographic of this community. That is changing. That is changing from methamphetamine to heroin. And heroin addicts need their heroin or they get extremely sick.
You've been talking about this for a year or so, saying that you're seeing more and more heroin.
We just caught a guy the other day with 40 grams of heroin and stuff for sales. That's a lot of heroin. And there's more of it coming into the community. And our ability to do interdiction drug enforcement is very limited. I mean, the Shasta Interagency Narcotics Task Force has a lot of vacancies on it due to staffing levels of the agencies that contribute agents to that. The local drug enforcement task force for the federal government is only two agents. You can't do much with that. So we're trying to link those together so that they're a little bit more effective. The problem is that when you want to take a local task force like CENTIF and marry it up with the DEA wants to control that task force and work on the big federal crimes rather than working on, more localized stuff. They want to get the big dogs that are big fish that are taking things across state lines, and we want to work on stuff that maybe just going from Tehama to Shasta County. So, you've got to have a tiered effect when you talk about drug enforcement. You have to have those guys that are dealing with it at the street level, like a street crimes task force. That takes staffing that we don't have right now. Then you have to have that local task force that deals with the mid-level, local-level distributors, and then you've got to have that big agency. Right now, the state of California, I met with state legislators a few weeks ago, and I told them that, the disassembling of the Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement with the state of California has taken away the statewide level interdiction of drugs coming across the border and being distributed within California. And the Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement has been dismantled by the state of California. So I told the legislators, I don't care if it's the Highway Patrol. I don't care if it's ABC. I don't care if it's bringing back the B&E. But there is no statewide interdiction of drugs coming across the border and being distributed in the state of California. And we see that in the amount of abundance of methamphetamine that is hitting the communities at the local level. It's less than half of the cost that it was 4 years ago, and the potency at the street level is higher because there's so much of it, they're not cutting it. Heroin is coming in abundant levels right now. Actually, we're having some of our people tell us that the meth dealers are having trouble unloading their meth because everyone's switching to heroin. Which they're a less violent offender than a meth offender, so some ways that's
– So you'd rather have them – if you're going to have them on something, have them on heroin because they don't fight like meth.
Well, they don't fight like that, but I will tell you that heroin offenders are much more – they're a little bit more prolific of a criminal on the property crime side than the methamphetamine because they get so sick when they don't get their heroin or their opiate. And a lot of this I think has to do with the reduction of opiate painkillers that have been – reduced by the medical profession.
They have. They've been really cutting back.
They've been cutting those back, and you have a bunch of people that are addicted to painkillers, and the heroin's cheaper than painkillers.
Okay. Let's take a deep breath here. We don't have enough police. So are we ready to start using technology?
I have
cameras, drones.
Well, the flip side of technology is it ain't cheap. We've been looking at a lot of different different avenues and stuff, and there's a reluctance, in this community to want, police related cameras hanging up in places so that we can monitor, locations. So, there's a political dynamic in that, and there is a operational dynamic, and we have to be sensitive to both of those. When you start talking about a camera system that monitors things that's monitored by an employee of a police department, I don't know that politically that would fly here. But it is a great tool. I mean, it's being used in a lot of cities, but there's privacy issues that come with that. I mean, if you look at the trend in law enforcement as an industry-wide professional, you know, a lot of departments are going to the body-worn cameras by the police officers. Now the ACLU is saying that's an invasion of people's privacy. You know, there's Public Records Act problems with it. So anytime you start talking about emerging technologies that are coming into it, you're going to have, you know, privacy concerns from groups. You're going to have the, you know, the cost inhibition. And we don't have a lot of money to throw around for that. There's a lot of the equipment in the Reading Police Department that is hitting end of life because the manufacturers of this stuff use planned obsolescence. And when you start talking about
– Like what?
Like a police radio.
Okay.
You know, you buy a police radio and they only make repair parts for it for – 5 to 7 years. Well, ours were purchased in 2006. Police radios are $4,300 a piece, and we have 100 of them. And do the math, that's a lot of money.
We didn't buy them all at one time, did we?
They bought them in segments, but we're having to buy them again in segments. We just bought another 29 of them for $129,000. So, and we got 26 before that. So we're finding grant funding and other things to be able to purchase some of those radios.
We thought about like car washes and cookie sales.
I actually joked the other day that as we get these new SUVs in, I'm going to turn them into NASCARs. And we're just going to sell spots and advertising on our police cars.
I like it.
We'll buy one.
You know, I like it.
So, you know,
he's thumping you, be thanking KCNR 1460. You deserved it.
Yeah.
We got to take a break. Our guest is Reading Police Chief Rob Poletti. Hey, this portion of the show has been brought to you by Reading Crown Motors, who is a stalwart here in town. Don't go any further than 555 Cypress Avenue to pick up your new or previously owned car, truck, or SUV. Crown Motors, of course, is your Ford, Dodge, Ram, Lincoln, Nissan, and Honda dealership. Great, great service department also.
I want to check out those new Mustangs.
Yeah. You know, Dodge Ram truck has, for the first time ever, has been back-to-back Truck of the Year, 2013 and 14.
And they're pretty.
And they're pretty. And let me tell you, you can haul a lot.
Maybe you should think about that.
I'm thinking about that Dodge. I'm thinking about that. I've got that Ford, and I'm thinking about that Dodge Ram. All right. Reading Crown Motors, 223-2177 is their phone number, but head on down to 555 Cypress Avenue. Reading Police Chief Rob Poletti is our guest. And we've come back. We've talked about we talked about technology. We've talked about the numbers of bad guys on the streets. I think now we need to talk about the tax on that Anderson tried to pass, a half-cent sales tax. I want to talk to the chief about that. We'll be right back.
I'm Vicki Leda from Amazing Foods for Life, gluten-free baking mixes made with ancient grains. At Amazing Foods, we're here to help you make living gluten-free easy and healthy. Often it can be difficult to find fast, easy, and delicious treats. With our cookies, cakes, muffin mixes, you can have bakery fresh in your home in about 20 minutes, while at the same time adding protein and omegas to your diet. Amazing Foods for Life is produced in a dedicated top 8 allergen-free environment. Check us out at AmazingFoodsForLife.com or at Orchard Nutrition Center, Tops Market, and many more.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
This is awesome, Uncle Vince.
Are you ready to make your first Mary's delivery?
Yeah, what are we delivering?
You can order anything off Mary's menu for delivery. So we have spaghetti with meatballs, tortellini, bruschetta, chicken parmigiana, gnocchi.
Shh. Eyes on the road. Hands at 10 and 2.
10 and 2?
Test the horn.
I'm not going to test the horn.
Horn check.
Thanks for testing the horn. It works.
How's the engine temperature?
It's fine.
Maybe I should check on the meatballs in case they're rolling around back there.
No.
This is a pretty nice car. This isn't your car, is it?
Yeah, this is my car.
Really? Huh. Wow, wouldn't have guessed that.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
Today, everyone has a big to-do list. With busy schedules, it's easy to forget about yourself, just like I did. Hi, I'm Jennifer Haynes here for Dr. William Farrell. Don't neglect your dental health. Without proactive care, a small cavity can lead to a root canal or extraction. My dentist told me several years ago that I had hairline cracks in my teeth. I did nothing. Time passes. Then out of nowhere, I wake up in the middle of the night in extreme pain. The kind of pain that drops you to your knees. My husband finally had enough and he called his dentist, Dr. William Farrell, who had me in his dental chair within 2 hours. Short time later, pain was under control. Dr. William Farrell took the time to explain to me what the problem was. Those hairline cracks caused massive infection all the way through to the cheekbone.
No wonder I was having such a problem with sinus infections. If you want the problem solved, go see Dr. William Farrell. Appointments are available Monday through Friday and most Saturdays. Call Dr. William Farrell 547-5757 today to schedule a quick and easy checkup.
The City of Reading Water Utility wants to help you save money and be water smart. The summer is a good time to give your irrigation system a tune-up. Remove anything blocking the sprinkler heads and fix any broken ones. Look at the spray heads on your sprinklers while they're working. Adjust them to avoid overspray onto driveways and sidewalks. Excess water flowing into the gutter doesn't help your landscape, and it can pollute our creeks and rivers. Be water smart. Visit ReadingUtilities.com for more information. This message brought to you by the City of Reading Water Utility.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Ooh, that's your song.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Don't stop believing. That's what you got to do. Don't stop believing. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460. It is 8:50 in the morning. Phone lines here 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. And what's it look like for weather today?
It's currently 80 degrees. It's going to be around 96 today. That's what the forecast is calling. Again, sunny and hot, and we're going to have light variable winds, probably about 10 miles per hour in the afternoon. Mostly clear skies tonight with temperatures around 63. Tomorrow will be around 88, and the highs on Friday will be around 88. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends. Veterans and seniors do get discounts. 365-3793.
Hey, Bad Bob, do we have a baseball game tonight? Today's the 11th.
Tonight.
June the 11th. Anyway, I have two tickets to a Colt
45. Bifocals don't work that far.
I have two tickets to a Colt 45's baseball game, and these are good really for any time.
You can go see the 45's take on the Mudcats.
Tonight?
I'm not even sure where the Mudcats are from.
These are good anytime, these Colt 45 tickets, but you can go see them tonight. For the second caller, 605-4567, second caller gets two tickets to the Colt 45's game. You can use them anytime you want. I want you to remind everybody that Aviation Day at Benton Air Park is going to be this Sunday, June 15th, from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. They're going to serve breakfast, though, from 7 to 11. The breakfast will be $7 for adults, $5 for children, 5 to 12. Kids under 5 eat free. How about letting your dad go up and go flying? Yeah, that's right. And also, it is time for the wine, whiskey, cigars, and brew fundraiser. For the VFW post, and all the money goes into scholastic rewards for our children, and that's going to be at the Veterans Hall on Yuba Street, and starts around 4 o'clock. And then, of course, the Reading Elk Lodge is hosting Spirit for the Flag of Patriotism Day, Saturday, June 14th, from noon to 6, at the Elks Lodge, and it's open to the public and entertainment, etc. Hot dogs and apple pie, $1 each, noon to 4 p.m. And they're going to have a Boy Scout flag retirement ceremony there. Bring your tattered and worn flags for a proper display.
All right, Bob's taking the name of a winner of the tickets for tonight's game and or for any other game. But we are going to start giving away those Colt 45s. We'd like to see you in the stands. It's a great night. Support the Colt 45s here in Reading. Our guest today has been Chief Paletti. How are you?
I'm still trying to call for the tickets.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. We had a great time, and we did. Let's go to the game some night, Rob. Mm-hmm. And because you know this is a great way to spend an evening. You get there 7:15. The sun's gone down. You've got shade there. You've got good seating there with the stadium mm-hmm. seats. Rick Bisetti has done a great job.
And they're winning.
Yeah, they've got a good team. They may not let me go back because that's the night they lost. But the other thing too is taking back South Park. Let's talk about that. There are some comments from you and a few other people. Your guys are out there. They take back South Park, where Tiger Field is, and editorials in the paper, the whole shooting match. What's it going to take to run these guys, these loitering people out of there so we can actually have families go back in there and feel safe?
Well, you know, that was actually a volunteer initiative by the Reading Police Officers Association. The officers that you saw out there
great job.
Were not on the job. Yeah, they were donating their time to, you know, try to do something to send a message to the community of what they see on a daily basis and bring some family involvement back to the park. So, you know, we had a problem last year down there because, you know, the kids are playing softball in the fields. Yeah. And you know, the transients are around and they're making people feel uncomfortable and they're hanging around where the kids are. And the officers went down and kind of, you know, pushed them, you know, politely to the other side of the park. And then as soon as we get them there, here comes a church van in, opens the door, starts serving lunch, and pulls them all back over to the softball fields. So, you know, it takes
Don't you have to have some kind of permit to do that?
No, not really.
No, I mean, well, not really.
Charitable things.
I mean, not really?
Yeah,
Or really?
No, you know. And okay. we really are trying to – I think that there's some – I don't, you know, if I had the answer, I'd probably be making millions in a think tank somewhere in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're trying different strategies and and some of them work and some of them don't. I'm really anxious to see what the statistics that we're doing in this homeless outreach thing actually look like so that we can, maybe that information will help us develop some of those strategies. I mean, right now, let's face it, I can send the guys down there. We can cite them all. We can, you know, hook them up. We can take them to jail. And the fact of the matter is that there's no space in the jail. They're going to come back out, and there's no incentive for them to show up to court. So that's the challenge that we are in as a police department. Now, they don't like – we did some intense enforcement in South City Park a couple of years ago, and basically what we did was move them to Caldwell Park. So, you know, the parks are places that are comfortable for them to hang out in. They are part of the public, whether we like that or not. And there's, you know, our legal limitations on what we can do just because they're in the park if they're not committing a crime. So, you know, that we have to operate within the confines of the Constitution and you know, state, you know, case law and everything else. But we're trying to get the picture so that we can develop the strategies to be able to impact this.
Well, it's like any type of military operation. Of course, you're a military officer, but you've got to gather your information first, clean it down so it's good intelligence on what to do with the program. And this is what you're doing right now, and I applaud that. So we got to do is figure out what to do with this as a community, too. The community needs to get involved. And, you know, we're talking about the Take Back Your Neighborhood organizations that are reporting all the time. And I know that we've called you on several times on things we have and that there's been action taken and there's got to be more and that people need to be involved.
Absolutely.
I mean, you don't have enough people, but so have we gotten to the point where we have like, you know, designated that you ask for volunteers, designated people on streets?
One of the things that came up there were a couple of suggestions at the last town hall meeting. One of those was that the police chief meet once a month with the neighborhood watch captains from each of the neighborhood watch groups that want to grow up. Yeah, all of our neighborhood watch needs to grow up. CSO Mike Leonard has been, you know, talking to the neighborhood watch captains that we know of. When the crime prevention CSO went away, the police department stopped retaining a list of neighborhood watch captains. So if you're a neighborhood watch captain and you want to meet with the chief once a month in a meeting, get a hold of CSO Mike Leonard. I want to be able to take that suggestion and run with it because I think the more information we can get in to the police department from the community is really good. We're going to continue doing the town hall meetings so that we can present directly to the public and they can express their concerns directly to me. One of the things that I was telling you earlier that I get a lot of questions at the town hall meetings that don't relate necessarily to the Reading Police Department. They relate to probation or parole or the courts or the DA's office. So what I'm going to try to do for the next town hall meeting this month is put together a panel discussion with the sheriff. The sheriff's already agreed to come. So we'll have the sheriff, see if we can get the probation chief, the DA, Highway Patrol, Anderson chief, whoever wants to come and sit and have a panel discussion on what's going on at City Hall Chambers like we always do. So that we can facilitate that discussion of what's going on.
So what time is that
going
to be?
It's at 6 o'clock just like every town hall meeting that we do. It'll just be part of the town hall meeting.
We'd like to broadcast that.
Yeah,
broadcast that over the KCNR.
We bring.
I just watched Bad Bob the producer fall down on the floor and start frothing at the mouth because I've got him doing other things too.
So you know, we want to keep interest up in the town hall meetings, and you know, I don't care if there's two people there. I'm going to keep doing the town hall meetings because I think they're important for the connectivity of the chief.
What you're talking about is something that we've talked about before, is getting the community crime, the community
Community Corrections Partnership
is getting all of you on the dais at one time and talking about this problem and bringing people in there so they can ask questions and listen.
But actually adding some aspects to it, too, that aren't necessarily part of the Community Corrections Partnership with the Highway Patrol. Maybe even the Anderson chief, because the crime bleeds over between communities.
It goes into them, too.
But, the Highway Patrol, too, we have a new division chief here, Ruben Leal, who's a really good guy who can talk about some of the things that are taking place on the freeways that surround our community. So, we'll put together as many of those people that are available and have that discussion.
Well, we'd like to work with you on this, so we would like to broadcast this so a lot of people can hear it and they can go into the archives so they can go back and listen to what was said.
Sure.
Okay, great. Hey, our guest has been Reading Police Chief Rob Pletty. Tomorrow, we've got REU coming in here talking about Energy Fair coming up and how to save money. I got my energy bill. We got our electric bill yesterday. I didn't even want to open it up because we were having friends over and didn't want to just go, lay there, rigid. with all my bodily
you
functions.
You didn't share that with me.
Well, no, it's because I haven't looked at it yet.
Oh, okay.
But then we're also having Brent Weaver on, who is running for city council. And we'll hear what kind of ideas Brent has. We heard some from Mike DeQuisto. We'll hear from Brent. And, of course, Friday we've got Christian Schrader is going to come on, also running for city council. Remember. Anyway, Rob, thanks a lot.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Rob.
And be careful out there.
Always.
All you guys. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Back down. The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Testifying before Congress about the Taliban prisoner swap, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel. He defends the deal that freed Sergeant Bo Bergdahl while admitting to lawmakers,
"We could have done a better job. Could have done a better job of keeping you informed."
Hagel's taking heat from both sides of the aisle. Washington State Democrat Adam Smith bristles at the suggestion that Congress had to be kept in the dark so the deal wouldn't be compromised.
"We can, in fact, keep a secret, or I would say we're no worse at it than the administration."
Republican Buck McKeon chairs the House Armed Services Committee.
"I wish that you or somebody had sat down with the leadership of the Congress, including the Senate, and told us the same things that you've just told us in your briefing here."
Hagel describes the swap of the Taliban Five for Bergdahl as the last best chance to win Bergdahl's release.